Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the second day, Yud Gimel beChodesh Menachem Av, Parashas Ekev, Tavshin Pei 5780. The first day, Monday, 3 August 2020. Podcasting from the internationally recognized Holy Land of the Jews. The Jews have no right to live in. Say the worldwide woke. In this edition of A Phantom Nation, we will focus on two types of anti-Jews: one Gentile, one Jewish. The Gentile is a former officer in the United States Army, now appointed to serve as a U.S. ambassador to Germany, where he should feel right at home, among historically the most anti-Jew European nation, where anti-Jewism is surging, where the foreign ministry in Berlin has just added a Muslim to its team on religion and foreign policy, a Muslim who supports the annual Al-Quds Day there, sponsored by the genocidal Iranians, who want to drop an atomic bomb on Israel, God forbid, and a bomb generously paid for by Imam Barack Hussein. Al-Quds Day is a day when Muslims cheer for the destruction of Israel. The new American ambassador, like the newly appointed jihadi in Germany's foreign ministry, sees in Israel an enemy of the United States supported by American neocon Jews who have only the interest of Israel at heart and think nothing of harming the U.S. if it helps Israel. The neocon is this century's Alfred Dreyfus, who allegedly betrayed France to Germany. And no less, we will ruminate on the latest anti-Jew Jew in the States in a class with Peter Beinart, this time a Hollywood actor named Seth Rogen, who accuses American Jews of lying to him about the crime of the Zionists and stealing Palestine from the Palestinians. Like Beinart, like LTF, that's little Tommy Friedman at the New York Times, being a Jew-bashing Jew earns one time in the spotlight as a brave maverick against the cliquish and clannish Jews incapable of criticizing Israel for Israel's racist, fascist abuse of the aboriginal Palestinians in residence from time immemorial. Still, I will make the case that respect for language teaches us that while Seth Rogen and all the millions of Seth Rogens may be legally Jews, existentially they're not Jewish at all. We will ask the question, what is Jewish about this man and others like him? But in the end, we will defend him, thanks to the real culprit for his behavior, the State of Israel, incapable of fighting for its rights, incapable of defending itself in the court of public opinion, hence the creation of millions of ignorant diaspora Jews like this empty shell, Rogan, and we'll get started after the following messages from Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the second day, Yud Gimel beChodesh Menachem Av, Parashas Ekev, Tavshin Pei 5780, the first day, Monday, 3 August 2020, podcasting from the most talked about country on the third planet from the sun. And even though the talk is commonly Israel bashing, by the anti-Jews' obsession with this tiny country, they betray their belief in the truth and power of Jewishness, which is a better translation of the Hebrew word Yahadus than Judaism, because the religion of the Jews is not an ism. Isms are man-made ideologies. The five books of Moses, by contrast, is not man-made, which should be obvious to those who study it because it's too good, inhumanly so. It has everything, starting with astrophysics. The book opens with the creation of light. from Aristotle into my own lifetime. Men like Aristotle believed the universe had no beginning. It was just there, versus the Torah, which says no, it had a beginning. And in the 20th century, astrophysicists discovered the Big Bang. The Torah deals no less with human and animal anatomy, with agriculture, labor management relations, relations between men and women, social ethics, the necessity of having a police force and courts of law. There's poetry, profound human psychology, and the most brilliant dialogue between people. The stories are extraordinarily well plotted. The language and the plot, and it all out Shakespeare, out Chekhov's Chekhov. Simply put, it's not human for its genius and brilliance about life versus what they teach in university departments of religion around the world, including in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, where they insist there was no Moses. The Torah was written by many writers and edited together after they turned from Babylon by a cabal of rabbis bent on hoodwinking the people into believing there had been a Moses and an Exodus, all those fairy tales and legends. People think the Jews call themselves the chosen people, meaning they believe everybody else is inferior and we Jews have the right to, more or less, enslave the whole world. This was the world according to Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo, and not only him. Some of today's black rapper Jew haters, the entertainers, bloggers, podcasters, athletes, are evidence of how angry we Jews make such people because they see in us the ultimate bad guys. Evil incarnate, bent on ruling the world, monopolizing all the money, making everyone else our impoverished slaves. In Deutschland last century, Der Führer believed that the clash between capitalism and communism was a Jewish ruse, a trick. In reality, there was no clash. How else to explain Germany being attacked from the east by the communists in Moscow and from the west by the capitalists in Washington? These were the allies. And he reasoned the Kremlin was run by Bolshevik Jews, with some truth to that, with FDR in Washington being sent as marching orders from the Jew bankers in Wall Street. Such are the brainwaves of these angry black opinionators, psychologically enslaved to their hatred of Jews. They see in us people of immense power, like the classic Christian belief that we Jews are so powerful, we were able to kill God himself. My late mother, as a girl in the Bronx a century ago, maybe 7 years old, was one day walking on the sidewalk in her neighborhood when in the opposite direction came a girl about her age, a Catholic girl coming from church, who, passing by, pointed a finger at her and said, "You killed God." And I say that belief bespeaks the accuser's belief in the inhuman power of the Jews. Enemies capable of doing that? Satan's little helpers. In Iranian minds, we are the little Satan. Maybe you saw the news, not so important really, of U.S. Army Colonel retired Douglas MacGregor being appointed as the new U.S. ambassador to Germany, replacing Richard Grenell. Now, truth be told, in the world of instantaneous worldwide communications, the job of an ambassador ain't what it used to be, so in the great scheme of things, it's almost a meaningless position. In ages past, by contrast, ambassadors had legal power to sometimes steer the ship of state from afar, make major decisions, in particular U.S. Navy captains, far from home in the 19th century, very much ambassadors, and likewise had the power to make momentous decisions for the country, versus today when ambassadors are like public relations agents, ceremonial hosts, and handshakers, so it is hardly newsworthy that pro-Israel Richard Grenell, raised in an evangelical Christian, is being replaced by the obvious anti-Jew, Colonel Douglas MacGregor, who has exposed himself more than once to be infected with the spiritual and mental virus of anti-Jewitis, characterized by the common anti-Jew hysteria of a Hitler in seeing us Jews as nefarious, behind-the-scenes manipulators, conspirators that look out only for Jews and manipulate the U.S. into supporting Israel against America's true interests. The JNS site, Jewish News Service site, reported last Wednesday that in 2012, Colonel MacGregor, in an interview, blamed the neocons for, quote, making decisions in Washington that in their minds are beneficial to a foreign power and are not necessarily good for the American people of the United States, close quote. He also blamed neocon advisors for Trump's decision to liquidate Iran's mastermind of satanic terrorist horrors, Qasem Soleimani. On Tucker Carlson's Fox TV show, he also said, there's no evidence Iran wants to attack us. And I say, this is borderline clinical denial. This man has authored several well-regarded, creative and thoughtful books, they say, on modern warfare, but when it comes to international relations in the Middle East, he's clearly an anti-Jew with a warped misperception of reality, surely bending it out of shape due to his perverse antagonism to the world's only tiny Jewish state. For example, it's no secret the government of Iran spends money on organizing mass rallies of men and boys shouting, Mar Barg America, death to America. Surely Colonel McGregor knows as well that in 1979, Iran invaded sovereign American territory, the embassy compound in Tehran, kidnapped and tormented 52 American diplomats and their families for over a year. In 1983, the Iranians blew up the Marine barracks on a peacekeeping mission in Beirut, 241 U.S. men in uniform blown to their deaths, the biggest such loss since Vietnam at that time. Iran also manufactured the IDs that took so many American lives in Iraq. Iran is recognized internationally as the major producer of terror, and here is Colonel McGregor seeing no aggression by Iran toward America, the Iran that has just partnered with the monstrous and murderous communists in China, currently responsible for the murder of hundreds of thousands of people globally. This is a kind of hysterical blindness on the part of Colonel Douglas McGregor.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy to read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
So we left off with the case of Colonel Douglas McGregor, retired, as an obvious anti-Jew and arguably anti-American for objecting to the extermination of the evil Qasem Soleimani, responsible for killing hundreds of U.S. servicemen in uniform. To all appearances, McGregor is an intelligent, educated man. Anti-Jewitis has nothing to do with IQ. He surely knows that in those rallies in Iran calling for death to America, they're also chanting death to Israel. And their nuclear dreams are of building at least two bombs, one targeting Tel Aviv, God forbid, one targeting Washington, God forbid. And if he does not know this, he knows nothing of Israel, of Iran, Islam, and the Middle East. When Israel is in his thoughts, he's clearly unhinged. He cannot face the truth that Iran is shameless in its desire to nuke the world's only tiny Jewish country, God forbid, and the U.S. as well. His criticism of liquidating the monster terrorist Soleimani and claiming Iran poses no threat to America is evidence of his psychic needs. He insinuates Israel is manipulating the U.S. for its own purposes that are not beneficial to the U.S., when he's the one spouting a conspiracy theory that does the true damage to the U.S. by denying that Iran is the enemy. He's like Imam Barack Hussein Obama, who sent $150 billion to Iran, that has publicly dreamed of dropping the big one, God forbid, on Israel. McGregor, like Obama, is a defender of Iran precisely because Iran is Israel's number one threat to its existence. In classic anti-Jew fashion, McGregor sees in Jews in Israel the enemy. McGregor is among those who use the code word neocon, short for neoconservative, referring to the movement in the late 1960s of formerly leftist intellectuals, so many of them Jewish, who are sneered at by paleoconservatives for their pro-Israel views. As McGregor insinuates, they care more about Israel than America and are willing to stick it to America if it helps Israel. This is more delusional brain work. Israel has only one friend in the family of nations, and it would be insane of the Jews to want to harm the United States. Then again, minds polluted with the anti-Jew virus, seeing us creatures like the scorpion in Aesop's fable, who wants a frog to ferry him across the stream to ride on his back. The frog rightly fears being stung, but the scorpion says he wouldn't do that. He wants to get to the other side. So the frog takes him on, and on the way, the scorpion stings him anyway. And as the frog is dying, he asks the scorpion, "Why'd you do that?" And the scorpion answers, "It's my nature. It's the nature of the Jew to betray the host country, like Alfred Dreyfus, who was accused of betraying France to Germany." McGregor, of course, has tried to make clear he does not believe most American Jews think like the neocons. He said they are by no means the neocons' representative of what I would call Americans who happen to be Jewish, close quote. These are the words and voice of an anti-Jew. Americans who happen to be Jewish. Translation, they're not less loyal to America than real Americans, and not more loyal to Israel. They're Americans whose Jewishness plays no role in their lives. The best kind. Versus those Americans like yours truly who see no problem in being a dual loyalist. Aren't we all dual loyalists when thinking about mom and dad? The unspoken assumption of an anti-Jew like McGregor is that supporting Israel is bad for America, but offers no evidence of that. When a serious case can be made that the U.S.-Israel alliance has been nothing but beneficial to the United States, in particular in his profession in matters of national self-defense, military affairs, intelligence. Anti-Jews like him spew this vague insinuation that supporting Israel harms the United States, but never support the claim with any evidence. The anti-Jew trembles in fear at the thought of the Jewish collective, this nation that is unique on the planet for never dying off like all other ancient peoples. Our survival is a miracle, compounded by the monstrous homicidal aggression that has been our fate as Jews in every generation. The very idea of the Jews and our history enslaves the minds of blacks like Louis Farrakhan and soulmate Barack Obama, and no less rattles the mind of those otherwise intelligent and educated men like Colonel Douglas McGregor, who fear the danger to America at the hands of a nefarious cabal of neocons. So last month, in another episode in the endless doings of anti-Jew Jews, as opposed to McGregor, last month it was the turn of Peter Beinart, and not for the first time, to bask in the spotlight as a Jew-bashing Jew. Then last week, a Hollywood actor I've never seen act, who is described as a Jewish actor, a Mr. Seth Rogen, who, like all Arabs, who call themselves Palestinians when there's nothing Palestinian about them, comes across as not Jewish at all. An imposter, perhaps? I don't doubt he's legally, in Jewish jurisprudence, a Jew, but I make a major distinction between being a Jew and being Jewish. The first is a legal status, by virtue of birth, like being an American, which is no guarantee one will act like an American. Think of Aldrich Ames, the infamous CIA agent in the 1990s who betrayed the country to the Russians. It is at the moment rotting in a prison cell in the most secure of federal prisons with no hope of parole. Think as well of England's infamous Cambridge spies of the 1930s and 40s, Kim Philby, Donald Maclean, Guy Burgess, Anthony Blunt, and all of them Englishmen, even upper crust, but likewise, they did not act like Englishmen toward their fellow Englishmen and women when they too betrayed the country to the Soviet Union. So this Seth Rogen, who is, I think, truly representative of most American Jews of his generation, but that still does not make him or them Jewish. There's nothing Jewish about him, as far as I can see. Does he keep the Sabbath? Does he practice the spiritual discipline of appetite control called the dietary laws? Does he abstain from foods with leavening for a week in the spring? The Jerusalem Post wrote, quote, "Rogen who grew up attending Jewish schools and Jewish camp in Vancouver, said he was, quote, fed a huge amount of lies about Israel, close quote. He evidently also is a stand-up comedian who, like many others, makes fun of Jews and of himself and his Jewishness in his act. But again, what is Jewishness by him? He opines that, quote, if the existence of the State of Israel is for religious reasons, I don't agree with that because I think religion is silly, close quote. Okay, Jews believe in free will, and he's certainly free to believe that. But he cannot have his intellectual cake and eat it too. The identity of the Jew begins in the Bible, whose first words are, in the beginning God created. A Jew is free to call himself an atheist, but in doing so he sheds the right to call himself a Jewish atheist, which is an oxymoron. It makes no sense. The very word Jew derives ultimately from a moment in the Book of Books when Mother Leah thanks God for the birth of her fourth son, Yehuda, derived from the common verb to thank. Jew means God thanker. Atheist Jew is a contradiction in terms.
Thank you. In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
So, Seth Rogen calls himself a Jewish person who was, quote, fed a huge amount of lies about Israel my entire life. They never tell there were people there. They make it seem as if it, presumably Palestine, in his mind, was just sitting there, like the effing doors open, close quote. He, of course, did not say effing, but the full word. He's fashionable. I quote, they forget to include this fact to every young Jewish person, close quote. So in his mind, not only did the Zionists steal the land from the Palestinians, the adults in his life lied to him and lied to every young Jewish person. Jews are liars. Now, clearly this fellow's opinion about Israel is of no gravitas. He is clearly an ignoramus who has been fed the lie of the existence of a Palestinian people whose country we Jews stole from them. Now, other opinionators have rightly taken Rogan to task for this, but I'll speak up in his defense by saying that, besides being totally unoriginal, he's just a representative of millions of legal Jews like himself in America and Canada who have never been told by the prime ministers of Israel that it is a lie that we Jews stole Palestine from the Palestinian people because there never was such a people and we didn't steal anything. The Seth Rogans of North America need to be told by the highest people in Israel that anti-Semitism in every generation manifests as belief in whopping lies about the Jews' evil that we allegedly commit, lies that never have any truth to them, including the current belief that the phantom Palestinian nation was victimized by us rapacious, racist, fascist, Zionist Jews who stole their country from them. Put another way, I blame Israel for Seth Rogen and all the Seth Rogans in the diaspora, like the 70% of self-described American Jews who voted against Donald Trump in 2016 and continue to be afflicted with Trump derangement syndrome, which, like anti-Semitism, is a kind of hallucinatory hysteria, as in Trump is a Russian agent, which never made any sense. There was nothing in the man's life to hint at any affection for Russia, unlike Obama's mentor, the communist newspaper editor in Chicago, Franklin Marshall Davis, or John Brennan, whom Obama appointed head of CIA after, in the 1970s, Brennan had voted for Gus Hall, head of the Communist Party. Quite simply, the Democrats' criminal conspirators against Trump were the ones in cahoots with Russia, not him. Seth Rogen was described by the Jerusalem Post as one who, quote, grew up attending Jewish schools and Jewish camp, and that's part of the problem. Post-religious, non-observant Jews think one's Jewish identity is forged in Jewish schools and Jewish summer camps when one's Jewish identity is formed in the house, in the home, in imitation and under the instruction of parents who live Jewish religious lives and seek to imbue the culture in their children, teach them the Jewish lifestyle that includes numerous moments in the day when one is a Jew, doing things that have nothing to do with a school or a summer camp, even if all the boys on the baseball field in the summer camp are legally Jews too, like Seth Rogen, who is a Jew, but he's not Jewish. What's Jewish about him? Last week, the anti-Semitic Sultan of Turkey, Recep Erdogan, returned Hagia Sophia back into a working mosque, which prompted, this is information from memory.org, M-E-M-R-I.org, a professor in Jordan who also hosts a TV show on the Muslim Brotherhood channel there, Dr. Ahmed Nofal, who cursed Ataturk, founder of modern Turkey, who turned the basilica that the conquering Muslim imperialists had turned into a mosque, into a museum, because, the doctor says, in reality, Ataturk was no true Muslim, but one of the Donme, secret Jews pretending to be Muslims, descended from the 17th century apostate Chabtai Tzvi, and there is truth in that. Dr. Nofal gloried, though, in the restoration of the basilica as a mosque and said, quote, if we liberate Palestine tomorrow, will we leave the Jewish synagogues intact? No, we will uproot them along with the people and throw them into the sea, inshallah. May it be soon. Close quote. In the Qantari press as well, an opinionator commenting on the restored mosque wrote, quote, we hope to see prayers renewed at the great mosque in Cordoba, in Spain, as well. Yeah, in the Hollywood epic movie Lawrence of Arabia, Faisal, played by Alec Guinness, tells Lawrence, played by Peter O'Toole, of his dream of returning to Spain. Of course, this is Islam, which is like crusading communism and Nazism. It's out to conquer the world. All of them, communism, Nazism, and Islam, are rooted in Jew hatred. All three are totalitarian systems that see the Jews as their principal mortal enemy. But don't tell Seth Rogen that his poor, poor Palestinian victims are in reality jihadi Muslims, whose religion is a form of anti-Semitism, and don't expect official Israel to tell him either. Official Israel never says anything about enemy propaganda. Its strategy in its public diplomacy has always been to broadcast Israel's hopes for peace with the Palestinians and, by implication, respecting their just demand for a state. We enlightened Israelis all agree on that, so the problem is just the mechanics of sharing the land west of the Jordan with the ancient Palestinians, who have as much right to a state in Palestine as the Jews. Netanyahu said more or less that in 2009 at Bar-Ilan University. So when a Seth Rogen feels he was lied to about there being no other people here, Israelis do not say, no, you were not lied to. What a different Israel it might be if the prime minister would address the world from his desk, as he has in his office in the past, and say, there never was a Palestinian people here. We, Jews, brought this wasteland back to life, and there are no Palestinians today, either with a right to a state west of the Jordan River. The League of Nations assigned eastern Palestine to the Arabs and western Palestine to us. Someone has to tell Seth Rogen and all the Seth Rogens that's the way it is, that since 1946, the Arabs have been officially free and independent in their own state, Muslim state, on the East Bank. And the Arab-Muslim claim to another state on the West Bank is in glaring contradiction to the League of Nations mandate for Palestine, which remains a living legal instrument embedded in the Charter of the United Nations since 1945. That saw in Western Palestine the Jewish part of the country. This is the sharing of Palestine between Arab and Jew mandated by the League, and it is that mandate that Israel never raises to its critics. Israel never speaks about its legal rights, only of its desire to make a deal with the Palestinians, who deserve a deal. Well, the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, I say politically, deserve nothing. All they deserve is humane treatment. Not one but two kings in Jordan, Abdullah I and Hussein ibn Talal, who died in 1999, never recognized the Arabs in western Palestine as a separate nation entitled to an independent state, and there's no reason Israel has to. I envy the historians of the future who will ponder the spiritual paralysis in an Israel incapable of calling the enemy a culture of anti-Semitic liars. Okay, gotta go. That's it for this edition of Phantom Nation. If you appreciate this free podcast, you can buy the book called Phantom Nation. There's no other like it on Israel's endless to self-defense. There's a 2-volume hardcover and less expensive Kindle ebook for your smartphone. This week's music was provided by Daniela Javiel and Yehuda Glantz, and we close as usual with Yosef Korduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Kerov gudlo Hallelujah bete kashofar
הללוהו בנבל וכינור, הללוהו בתוף ומחול, הללוהו במינים ועוגב, הללוהו בצלצלי שמה, הללוהו בצלצלי תרועה, כל הנשמה תהלל כה, אוי הללוכה. הללוכה, הללו כל בקודשו, הללו ברכיה עוזו, הללו בגבורותה, הללו קרוב גדלו, הללו בתקע שופר, הללו בנבל וכינור, הללו בתוף ומחול, הללו במינים ועוגב, הללו בצלצלי שמה, הללו בצלצלי תרועה, אוי כל הנשמה תהלל כה, אוי הללוכה.
Get the inside news on Israel. At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.